I call this meeting of House Special Committee on Military Veterans Affairs to order. It is 1 p.m. on Thursday, February 2nd. We are in the Gruenberg Room, 120, the State Capitol in Juneau. Members present, I have Representative Shaw, Representative Carpenter, Representative Groh, and myself, Chair Wright. Let the record reflect, we have a quorum to do business. Please silence all cell phones. And also, I'd like to thank Lisa Denny with the Juneau LIO for moderating today's meeting. And also, I would like to thank Jordan Wright and Justin Hayes with the House Records for documenting today's meeting. We have one item on the agenda today, a presentation on the Department of Defense Key Quality of Life Issues for State Policy by Tammy Peralt, Northwest Regional Liaison, Defense State Liaison, Office DOD, Military Community, Family, and Policy. Ms. Rawl, please begin your presentation and put yourself on the record.
Chair Wright and members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Tammy Perot, and I work for the Department of Defense. I am your Defense State Liaison for the state of Alaska, and it is an honor to be before you today to talk about priorities that can be done in state policy that help our military families. Our military is strong in Alaska. We have over 22,000 active duty service members that serve in Alaska, 14,000 family members of active duty service members that are under the age of 18, and 8,000 spouses. Our National Guard and Reserve in Alaska are over 7,000 strong. Alaska is a military state. In October of 2022, the Biden administration and the Department of Defense released a new national strategy for the Arctic region. And a key component of that was the importance of Alaska for our national security. Alaska is key for our nation to be prepared, not only in the Arctic region, but also in the Indo-Pacific. As such, it is important that we support our military families that live here in this great state. As a regional liaison, I am one of a team of eight liaisons that work across the nation with state legislators like yourself, specifically on policy that is impacted by the state. We recognize that not every policy can be resolved at the federal level, and it is incumbent upon us to work closely with the states to identify those policies which can help improve the quality of life for our military families. In a September 2022 memo from Secretary Austin, he stated that it is the sacred obligation of the Department of Defense to take care of our families. And Dr. Jill Biden also continues to support our military families through her Joining Forces program, which was carried forward from our previous administration and the administration prior to that. She states regularly how important it is for us to support those in uniform and our veterans. Our service members are only mission ready if our families are taken care of. Families are a part of our defense structure. It is no longer optional to have a family. Our service members are family people. Taking care of our families is absolutely critical for retention and readiness of our force. I have highlighted four different areas that we'll briefly speak about today. Those areas that are not highlighted on this slide are areas that the state of Alaska has already achieved excellent support of our military families with. And I'd like to first discuss just a few of those. Enhanced military spouse licensure access. We'll talk about those more in depth. The Purple Star Schools Program. We would like to thank the state of Alaska for for implementing a program which recognizes the value of being culturally competent and supporting our military children as they move from school to school. We have passed excellent coordinating statute in the state of Alaska to ensure there's coordination on child abuse and neglect cases between our services that support military families on the installation and the state agency. Alaska leads the nation as a state that allows the Air Force to provide oversight to child care facilities that are serving just military children. And we've seen a program in the Eielson, Fairbanks area that is a model for the nation for how the Air Force has helped improve child care accessibility through ensuring that regulations are left in the hands of the Air Force and overseen. And Alaska leads the nation in ensuring that military and family life counselors are easily have licenses to come here and provide support to our military families. Military and family life counselors are counselors that provide services to our military members. They provide non-medical counseling, and Alaska has an excellent program in place for them to receive an expedited license. We appreciate the support of DCCED for putting that in place. Today, I'm going to talk primarily about two issues, defining armed forces and licensing compacts, both in those red squares. I just want to touch on the two yellow squares, open enrollment flexibility and concurrent juvenile jurisdiction. Those are both issues that are currently undergoing further research before they're ready to come to the state legislature. So let's talk about a really wonderful opportunity that we have to align state policy with federal policy. In December of 2019, the United States Space Force was established. And consistent with the approach of defining members of the armed forces, it's appropriate to ensure that each state updates their definition of armed forces to include Space Force. This will minimize disruptions as we prepare for Space Force veterans to come into our communities and ensure benefits that are provided to other military members and veterans of our other services are also provided to the Space Force. Chair Wright and members of the committee, I want to talk a little bit about an issue that over the years our office has worked on for a long time, and that's military spouse licensure. We see this as a continuum of improvements that can be made for our military spouses, beginning with ensuring no portability, which was where we were probably at 15 years ago for our military spouses. They had to go through a complete application to get a new license. There was very little reciprocity, to near-term processes as Alaska has implemented, such as expediting licensure, minimizing documentation, and ensuring that a military spouse can get a license within 30 days, to long-term solutions, those durable solutions of occupational licensure compacts. I'd like to thank the Alaska State Legislature and the State of Alaska for implementing Senate Bill 21, which was passed in 2021, licensure improvements. The state has put an excellent website resource together, which provides tools for a military spouse or military family member to apply for a license in the state of Alaska and receive that temporary license to begin working within 30 days. 38 of 45 licensing programs, a full 82%, have fully online temporary military license applications as a result of SB 21. This is a success, and we appreciate the work that has been put into this to support our military spouses. Maybe I should back up just a little bit. 34% of our military spouses require an occupational license to work. Many in healthcare, some in teaching, cosmetologists, massage therapists. And what we have found is if a military spouse does not have the opportunity to quickly be employed in the profession of their choosing, oftentimes there starts to be a dynamic where the military member is challenged to remain in the service. We want the military spouse to be able to support that military member and the military member to be able to support the military spouse. We can only do that if those opportunities to work are made available as easily and quickly as possible. Military spouses are organized. They know how to get through this licensing process. They carry around their binders when they move from state to state 6 to 9 times on average through a military career. But we are asking them to do additional processes and paperwork that may not always be appropriate, as they're also house hunting, finding childcare for their children, and supporting a deploying family member. So we appreciate this additional work that Alaska and the additional steps that Alaska has taken on licensure improvements. I'd like to talk about another piece of licensure improvements. These are occupational licensure compacts. Currently, Alaska is not a member of any occupational licensure compacts, but Alaska is a member of over 28 interstate compacts that govern things such as the placement of children, adoption, military education, mining, taxes, and National Guard mutual assistance. Alaska is not a stranger to compacts. Occupational licensure compacts provide a way for states to have state-to-state agreements on reciprocity. This is a priority for Secretary Austin and for the Department of Defense. We are working hard to ensure that licensure stays within the purview of the states and does that through tools like occupational licensure compacts. In September of 2022, Secretary Austin laid out in his Taking Care of People or Taking Care of Service Members and Families memorandum the importance of ensuring spousal employment is supported through occupational licensure compacts. Compacts are a legally binding agreement between states. It's a contract passed by the state legislature, signed by the governor, and creates an agreement that Alaska enters into with other states to manage a certain type of resource or process. It promotes cooperation and cooperative action among the states, and it's widely recognized as a durable policy solution. The roots of compacts, in many ways, are much earlier than the roots of our federal government. These are state-to-state agreements. We work closely with the National Center for Interstate Compacts, part of the Council of State Governments, which is a nonpartisan organization supporting all of the states in processes to improve the strength of states across the nation. I encourage you, if you have time, on the Council of State Governments website, they have on their National Center for Interstate Compacts website, they have this YouTube video called Compacts 101. It is incredibly informative and provides just detailed information about why compacts work, not just in the space of occupational licensure, but in all of these other areas. It really strengthens states' rights and sovereignty to make these agreements with other states. But our equity in this issue is occupational licensing. And you have before you a list of occupational licenses that currently have been developed as compacts. Many of you have probably heard of some of the professions on these lists. Some of these professions have had long-standing compacts. Emergency medical services, for example, as well as physical therapy is a long-standing compact. I'd like to highlight three of them on this list. It might be slightly different than the highlights you see in your slides. The physical therapy compact, the counseling compact, and audiology speech language hearing interstate compact, all of which are open for consideration to this legislature. I'd be happy to put you in touch with the experts on these compacts that could bring forward your local voice that may be interested in moving these forward. This is just good legislation that CSG has helped develop to make sure states have an easier path to licensure, reduce licensure burdens for everyone, not just military spouses, and reduce that burden of administration within the state as well. We have one other issue, which is not on your list, on the 10 key issues list, that we're piloting across states. We've seen several states that have added special protections through anti-discrimination status for military and veterans. I'm here to say that if this was a consideration of this legislature and a consideration of the state of Alaska, we would stand by and support improving the encompassing military and veterans into your anti-discrimination statutes. I am fully aware that Alaska has been an early adopter of some of the most progressive anti-discrimination language in our nation. You've led the way. And we understand that it would be appropriate for this body to take careful consideration on how you want to move forward on this issue. Again, my name is Tammy Perot. I am your Defense State Liaison. I focus on military, family, quality of life issues, and I stand for your questions.
Thank you, Ms. Perot. Do we have any questions? Representative Shaw?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And through the chair, a question I have is adding to the uniformed services definition. And right now, I think we're in the middle of initiating legislation to bring on National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, and the U.S. Public Health Service. I'm assuming, since you're asking for us to bring on board the Space Force under some type of state recognition, that you'd be willing to accept them as well.
Through the chair to Representative Shaw, thank you very much for the question. The Department of Defense would stand by any improvements the state would like to make to expanding their definition from armed services to uniformed services. However, we do not have an expectation of that expansion because we are specifically concerned about the Space Force addition. I do have examples of legislation where states have added the other uniformed services to their statute, and I would be happy to provide those.
I'm good, thank you.
Representative Rowe.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Ms. Perot, I was looking again at the Occupational Licensure Compact list, and you said that there was a difference perhaps between what's on the slides and, you know, what's in the materials.
Yes.
I wanted to zero in on the ones that you thought were most important for us to notice in terms of potential action, legislative action this year in the Alaska legislature. Please.
Through Chair Wright to Representative Groh, thank you very much. I would be happy to clarify that for you. I would like to highlight the physical therapy compact as being important for action in the state legislature this year. The audiology speech language compact, ASLPIC, for those of us that want to remember an acronym. And then I have not seen draft legislation, but I understand there's considerable interest in the counseling compact. I would be remiss to not mention the considerable interest by many parties in this state for the nurse licensure compact. And if that was to be brought before this body, the Department of Defense would support that compact's implementation in the state of Alaska.
Follow up, if I could, Mr. Thank you, Chair. Right. I represent Joint Base Lumber Purchasing, the largest military base in Alaska, and I'm very interested in seeing what I can do to make sure that the military members and the family members and dependents can have a good quality of life here. and I appreciate your efforts in doing that. And I'm happy to talk with you more about this when I'd like to. I just want to make one other point related to the quality of life and ask you about this. Another major impact on military families, of course, is the quality of the educations that they receive while stationed in various places, including in my hometown of Anchorage, going to the schools. And the state in Alaska provides much of the funding for K-12 education. Do you think that funding for K-12 education or funding for K-12 education is a helpful in terms of providing good quality of life for military families?
Through the chair to Representative Groh, thank you for that very thoughtful question around the funding of K-12 education in the states. I defer to the states in how that funding is appropriately provided to support military children. As you know, the state does receive some funding through impact aid for military children, but we recognize that in many states that is inadequate for the full funding of supporting the military child. We believe K-12 education is an incredibly important factor in our quality of life for military children, and we are currently doing some specific research to determine how states can better support our military children, not necessarily through increased spending, but through improved processes. I highlighted that the Purple Star program, recognizing the cultural competencies of our K-12 schools that support our military children, has been a step in the right direction. But we recognize that that more can be done. I'd like to also recognize that the school liaison officers in Alaska, the community that surrounds the military child in Alaska, seems strong, and we're grateful for that.
Thanks to the witness. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let the record reflect, Representative Rouse will join us at 1:19 p.m. And I'd also like to recognize Representative Andrew Gray for being in the audience. Any other questions? So thank you, Ms. Perot, for taking the time to present us today. That concludes our committee for today, and we will be meeting again next week. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, we have no meeting next week. Perfect. Thank you. Have a good day.